And now we switch over to the University of Toledo College of Law, where Lee Strang, professor of law, is awaiting us. Lee, good to talk with you again.
Hi, Al.
Okay. Everybody I'm talking to tells me there's a lot of absurdity here and irrationality, that these are incoherent decisions, that nobody knows what everything means. Certain key provisions of DOMA are struck down, but there's no establishment of a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. Nevertheless, the language in the decision seems to be deeply constitutional, worrying about protecting equal citizenship. Then you've got the California decision, where we're told that those who brought Prop 8 don't have standing, at least at the federal level, but do they have standing at the state level? Is there an easy way to make sense of this?
Well, thanks for that easy question. I think one way to make sense of this is that you have a Supreme Court that is playing on a relatively open field, in the sense of it has previous Supreme Court opinions that could be drawn on and lines of thought that could be drawn on to lead to different conclusions, and that the justices were unable to come to a coalition on one solid conclusion, there is a constitutional right to homosexual marriage, or another, there isn't, and that this result, especially the standing issue, I think is evidence of that. So in the Perry case, the one that you and your previous guests were talking about, if you look at the lineup of the justices who signed on for no standing, it included Breyer, Ginsburg, and Justice Kagan, and especially Justice Ginsburg, but the others as well, those folks, they haven't seen a standing case where they haven't found standing before.
Hmm.
And so that indicates to me that something odd is going on. And in particular, what I suspect is that Justice Kennedy was not, at least at this point, willing to cross the line and say there's a constitutional right to homosexual marriage. But he's willing to go some ways in that direction, right? And that's what we see in the Windsor case, where Justice Kennedy and the court struck down Section 3, which says that if a state wants to have homosexual marriage, it can, and the federal government's going to recognize that, but it wasn't going to go any further. And that explains, I think, the 7 pages of Justice Kennedy waxing eloquent about the state's role historically and currently in defining the contours of marriage. So I think the easy explanation, if there is one, is that these two opinions and their reasoning and results are the result of a court that's unable to say one way or the other whether there's a constitutional right to homosexual marriage.
Okay, well, let's go to that big question then.
Okay.
Is something like marriage a matter for the federal government's legislation or judiciary?
I think the answer is clearly no, and I do that, and I think that way because when I look at the traditional tools to interpret the Constitution, its text, its structure, its history, none of them tell me that the federal government has much, if anything, to say about marriage. So I don't think the Constitution says that states must recognize only traditional marriage or only true marriage, but that the flip side is that there's nothing in the Constitution that says you must recognize homosexual marriage as well.
That's right. That's right.
And I think if you look at the dissent by Justice Alito in the Windsor case where he reaches the merits, that's basically what he says. He says that there's the longstanding conjugal conception of marriage that most Americans and most Westerners and most of the people in the world believed in. In the last 50 years or so, there's been another conception that's arisen. He thinks most Americans believe in it, which frankly is my view too. But his point is that the Constitution doesn't choose one or the other, mm-hmm. or at least, at the very least, federal judges don't have the prerogative to choose one or the other. And this fits with something that Chief Justice Roberts said. It's the first line of his opinion in the Perry case. He says, the public is currently engaged in an active political debate over whether same-sex couples should be allowed to marry. And I think that fits an earlier case. I don't know if you remember back in the 90s, Al, and before, there was the big debate about assisted suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a constitutional right to assisted suicide? And there was the Washington versus Glucksberg case where mm-hmm. everybody thought, oh, boy, here we go, another Roe versus Wade. And the court backed away.
Right.
And the main reason that Chief Justice Rehnquist's opinion, or one of the reasons Chief Justice Rehnquist's opinion gave, is that Americans are having a fair debate, a fair fight about this issue.
Right.
This isn't a place for judges to step in. And I suspect that the similar phenomenon is going on with homosexual marriage, that there's a debate going on. It's a vigorous debate. Unfortunately, our side has been in the losing end for the last couple of years. But nobody can say that that the federal judiciary needs to step in to protect anybody or to set the boundaries of the fight, because
okay.
the fight's going on.
So the Proposition 8, take the Proposition 8 decision at face value then. They really didn't think the citizens, these particular citizens, had standing. This was not a backhanded way of saying that there's that the states can't define marriage.
Yeah, I don't think that's right. There's not a consensus to say there's a right to homosexual
okay.
marriage.
All right. Lee, thanks much. Very clear. I appreciate
Thank you,
it. Al. Lee Strang is professor of law at the University of Toledo College of Law.